How many of you were here last Sunday at 8 o'clock? Me too. You've just seen a very rare occurrence, and it won't happen again. I'm going to retire again and see if it works the second time. Well, the crowds have gone now. They're not around Jesus. The journey through Galilee to Jerusalem has begun. And instead of being followed by multitudes and surrounded by the needy and the afflicted, now it's only the disciples who are being privately instructed. And Mark puts us right among them. Jesus wants us to prepare for what's ahead. But it's not just about what lies ahead for Jesus. It's what lies ahead for the disciples. This time, Mark has Jesus speaking in the present tense about being handed over. I doubt that you caught that, but if you study and compare all the predictions of the Passion, all of the other ones are in the future tense. The Son of Man will be handed over. But this time, it is handed over. This time it's different. In other words, the Son of Man is being handed over, not will be. This is something happening right now. The Son of Man is still being handed over. Reflecting on this business, then, of being handed over leads us deeper into the mystery of the Incarnation and what God is doing by handing over His Son to the world. Thought of in light of the Incarnation, it becomes clear that Jesus is no helpless victim. He is participating out of obedience in God's act of redemption and saving love. God's Son is being handed over to us right now, right here. Knowing what's to come, Jesus could have stopped it. He could have gone somewhere else. He could have avoided the confrontation. And he never would have chosen Peter and Judas, who both betray him. And by moving into the present tense, he proposes that Peter and Judas are not the only ones who betray him. We better count ourselves among them. In spite of that, the handing over continues. The disciples always want to avoid what he speaks of. It's understandable in some sense. No one wants to be misunderstood, persecuted, judged unjustly, or abandoned by one's friends at the greatest time of need. No one wants to be vulnerable enough to be stripped and ridiculed. So there's no surprise in the reaction of the disciples. Earlier, Peter even says, after hearing this prediction, "Never." And he's rebuked. Today, however, they're just silent, which in a sense prefigures their response to his passion. Because when Jesus is handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, they're silent again. Not a one voice is raised in his defense. All he gets is silence. But silence won't do. As disciples, we do not pick and choose what we're called to be, nor what we're sent to do. But the desire and the struggle to do so continues. When words fail, Jesus shifts into action. He wraps a towel around his waist and he washes their feet. Maybe they'll get it this time. On the floor, with water and a towel, is where disciples of Jesus are meant to be, not picking the best place at the table. To start thinking in terms of who's first or who sits where misses the point and misses the message. And you know what? It breaks our fundamental solidarity with our neighbor. It's as though we don't want to sit with them. There is no privilege in discipleship. There is no glory or honor for disciples in this world. There is only a responsibility and a duty to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus, we too have to be handed over day after day. Just as the Father handed over his Son into human nature, disciples are handed over, becoming one with the world's most vulnerable, the outcasts, the left behind, the helpless, the poor. When we give up thinking about ourselves and embrace what and who has been handed over to us, there will come a day when we'll be raised up and lifted up in victory with Jesus Christ. And on that day, the will of the Father will have been accomplished.